This morning I'll be reading 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 through 17. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Hi. Oh, I got up here and I forgot my button. So, I hope you like the direction that we're going in our building now. Somebody said, "Is this for Vacation Bible School?" I said, "No, we're doing this all the time." You just don't know the hours that people have worked and getting all this stuff ready, and in the classrooms are all decorated inside that we're going to be using, and all this stuff up here, and this is supposed to be a wonderful, fun time. Sound like a worship service to me. We need to enjoy our worship. And isn't it wonderful that the church is the person and not the building? Isn't that great? And we can do all this stuff. It doesn't affect our religion. It doesn't affect us at all because we are worshiping God in our hearts. And that's where it's supposed to be. That's where that worship is supposed to be. But we want to encourage you. We're going to have an adult class. Please come. It's going to be taught by different people every night through Thursday night. We need you to be here and enjoy yourself. Velvet and Lamar, and they've kind of directed this, and others have worked so very hard in preparing this. So we need to invite kids, bring them. They'll have a good time. They'll enjoy themselves, and we just got a lot of things to do. And then Thursday, isn't it Thursday night we're going to have all this? Or Friday. Okay, Friday. I can't even talk about it. It just thrills me so much. I'm telling you, we're going to have a good time. And it's good to enjoy and do that. I wonder if the kids have half as much fun as the people putting all this stuff together did. They're going to have a ball, I'm telling you. So we appreciate all that everybody's done in this. Many of you have brought chips and cookies and drinks and all that stuff. And I want you to come and see it and come and see the kids and hear them. Robert is going to be, Robert is really a kid himself. Don't tell him, okay? Robert goes with a thing like I do. If you're not young, at least act childish. Isn't that right, Robert? Okay. But I just can't emphasize too much about this. And I thought, well, what are you going to preach about Sunday? And I thought we'd talk about the Bible for just a little bit and look at that. I want to really emphasize to you today that we learn to study the Bible. Don't depend on other people for it. Don't depend on preachers for your whole religion. Don't do that. Look at the Word of God and study the Word of God for yourself. Look that thing out. Search out the truth of God. And do in such a way as it can help you to learn. We are quick to learn everything else in the world. I've seen little boys that could go around and they could quote the ball scores and they knew this and they knew what race car was going on or what tractor it was and all that. Do we know the Bible that much? And the whole thing is desire. We got a desire to do it. We got to want to do it. And so that's what we're trying to do here. That's what we're trying to do in our Bible classes is learn more about God and God's Word. And let me tell you something. The more you know about God, I'm going to tell you something, the more you're going to like Him. And if you don't like Him, you just don't know Him and you don't know about Him and you need to do that. There was a book that was written a few years ago by Mr. Barna. He does a lot of research as far as calling people, talking to people, and finding out from different people about how they view things. And I think it's good to do that. We need to know how the people around us view things because then we know how to present it to them. If you don't know the people around you, you may be presenting something that's great, but they may be missing the whole thing. And so what you've got to try to do is to understand what they're looking for. And what we've got to do is to understand we're living in a world where people need to know the Bible, but we don't. We have a reverence for the Bible. We have a reverence for the Word of God, but it doesn't equate into our studying it. I mean, how many Bibles do you have in your house? Now just think about that. I don't know how many I have in my office. I probably 15 or 20, and then I probably got 20 or 30 on my computer, different ones, or more than that. I have all those, but if I never open those things, it does no good at all. Having a Bible does not necessarily mean that you know the Word of God. And, and you may have one of these, okay, so I'll just go ahead and apologize because I stick my foot in my mouth. But you have these Bibles that are real big Bibles, you know, those are big old things. That's what I need to be reading out of, then I could see the words in them, you know. But sitting on a table gathering up stuff does not help it. It needs to be read. It needs to be studied, and we need to do that. Now, look at these statistics, and I put them up here for you. 48%, this is talking about people that are Christians, and it surveyed people that are Christians, not people that are not Christians, but people that are Christians. And in this, the state of the church, Barna found out that 48% could not name the four Gospels. Now, you just think about that. That's Matthew, Mark, and what are those other two? I forgot. Oh, Luke and John, that's what they are, that's it. But you see, people need to know those things. It helps us to know the Gospels just a little bit and know where they're found. But 48% of the people don't know that. 52% of the people cannot identify two or three of the Lord's apostles or disciples. We can't mention who they are. We don't know who they are. And let me tell you something. We got kids in cradle roll that can tell you all the names of the apostles because they go over them in their songs. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Isn't that, you know, and they go over all these things and they help. They know the Word of God. They know a part of it. It's that introductory part that they're getting there, so they'll gain a greater love for it. Then he talked about here that 60% could not name 5 of the 10 commandments. Now, if you can't name them, how do you know if you're committing them or not? If you don't know how to name them, you don't know what they are. And we need to know what they are. But then he interviewed some graduating seniors, so-called people that are born again, and I'll just put that, you put quotes on there wherever you want to put that, people that are supposed to be Christians, that are supposed to know the Word of God, they're supposed to know the Bible. But now, look at this, what he found. 50% of them thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were a husband and wife. Okay, where do you get that? Then 61% thought that the Sermon on the Mount was a sermon that Billy Graham preached. Okay, these are people that are supposed to be born again Christians, okay? And that terminology is maybe the way the world looks at it. I'm not arguing with it one way or the other. But then 71% of them think that the expression "God helps those who help themselves" is in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Who did that? Anybody know who did that? Who said that? Benjamin Franklin, I think it was. If I was wrong, y'all tell me, okay? But these are people that are supposed to know the Word of God, that say that they believe this book and they want to follow this book, but we don't know that much about it. And brethren, if we look at ourselves here, we would find out that we don't have the Bible knowledge that we should have. And that means we need to know more about the Bible. If you don't know the Word of God, you are so far in danger of somebody leading you away. And you've got to know God's Word. If you know it, then you know what the truth is, and you won't be led away by somebody with great sounding words and maybe a very slick tongue. You won't find that. You'll know what God says within His Word. No wonder that Barna said this. Look at this statement up here. He said, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they do not know what it says. And because they do not know it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. We love it, but we don't know it. Now that's to our shame. We need to know the Word of God. And I'm not talking about just the preacher. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we all need to know the Word of God. Now, look at this. Suppose I had Danny Dotson to come up here, and I put this big bib on him, and I'm here, and I'm going to feed him potatoes and green beans. I don't know if he likes potatoes and green beans. I think he does. Now, I don't know about you, but I just wouldn't want another man feeding me unless I couldn't move. It just wouldn't look right. But does it look right when we have to just spoon feed Christians the gospel, the Bible? It doesn't look right. We need to know what the Bible teaches. Years ago, I can remember when you sat down and studied with people in their home, one of the first things they would almost say when it ran up on a question that they didn't know, well, my preacher said this and my preacher that. And I thought, that is pitiful that you've got to rely on your preacher for your whole faith. Brethren, in the church, we do the same thing now. Somebody said, well, my preacher. And they said, I wish you'd have been with me the other day. I told them my preacher. And I want to say, don't ever say that when it comes to talking to people about the Word of God. So let us sit down and study it. I guarantee you, if you deal with it and you look in the Bible to find an answer to a biblical question, you probably won't ever forget that one again, because you don't want to be embarrassed again. And so we need to study the Word of God. We need to find out what it has to say. That's a part of what we're trying to do in Vacation Bible School. That's a part of what we're trying to do in our Bible classes and even in our sermons, to help people to see the Word of God, but not just spoon feed people something. Help them to see what God says within His Word so that they can follow it. We need to be people who we know the book. We know what God says within it. And sometimes I'm afraid in our educational program, we've got so far away from the Bible because we've got a book. I've seen some Bible school books that it had very little Bible in it. And we need to get back to studying the Bible and finding out what it has to say. Don't say anything about anybody else not knowing the Bible with how little we know it. Don't do that. What we need to do is to study the Word of God. Do you know why we're afraid of anything that's new? Anything that is different? You know why we're afraid of it? It's just like, you know, here we've got this thing right here. We've got it hung up here. Somebody said, we're not going to put that up. I said, put that thing up. People need to see it. See, if you don't know the Bible, you might come in and think, oh, how terrible this is. Look at all this stuff. This is just a building. It has nothing to do with all this. Our spirituality is not with lights and building. Our spirituality is knowing the Word of God and then doing it. But we'll get somebody say, oh, I'm mad. Look at what they got up there. It just upsets me. You know what I want to tell them? You don't know your Bible, people. You don't know what God's Word says. And we have fussed and split and divided over the least little thing that makes no difference at all. And to be honest with you, most of the time the preacher's the one that got it started. I hate to knock preachers, but that's just the way it is. We need to know what God's Word has to say. We need to find out what it says to us so that we can know it in a greater way. Now, look at this. How do you study? And this is just a cursory look at how to study. We've studied this before, and we'll probably study it again. But how do you study the Word of God? First thing we've got to do is we've got to accept the Word of God as the Word of God. We've got to believe that this book that we have is inspired of God, that it's a God-breathed book. Listen at the passage here. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 was already read to you. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 says. Here's Paul talking to the people of Thessalonica. And you also thank God, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the Word of God, now you received God's Word, how did they do that? Which you heard from us. Now here, these people, Paul and others came in and they delivered to these people the Word of God, and they said, you received the Word of God, not as the Word of men, but as it really is, and it actually is the Word from God. It is that God-breathed Word, 2 Timothy 3. It's that Word from God. You people heard that and you believed what we said. Now see, they didn't have a Bible. Didn't have that. They were not as blessed as we are today. You can get the Bible in so many ways. They got it on CDs. They got it on cassettes. They got it, you know, I mean, you can take, most of you, if you can take on your phone and you can punch in. I've got two or three different translations on my phone. Well, you can punch in, look at that, and if you're smart enough, you can do it to where it will read it back to you. And you can, I mean, why don't we know more about it? Why don't we know more about God's Word? Why are we so hung up on the Bible, but we don't remember what's inside it? We don't try to find out what's there for us, and we've got to try to find out what it is. We need to find out what this Word says. Second, I done pushed the wrong button. I go back. We've got to study the Bible, but secondly, I must analyze it. I've got to learn from it. It's not a matter of just reading it and that's all, but I'm learning that. I'm learning what God's Word has to say, because that's what I got to do. Sometimes we need to condition ourselves as to what is said within the Word so that we can know and we can teach it to others. A closed Bible is not worth anything. Toting a Bible around is not worth anything at all. What it is taking this book and putting it into practice. That's what we really got to do. It's not in black and white, but the Bible has got to be in full living color in a person. And they're living it, and they're following it, and they're doing it. Why? Because that's what it's supposed to do. Whatever this book says, if it's not affecting your life and it's not changing your life, it's no good at all. It's got to be something that changes us and helps us to be a better person and live a different kind of life and have an influence on us so that we'll live in a different way. But sometimes we just find out a little bit of what we want to know and we forget about that. Now, Matthew 13 and verse 15, listen to this prophecy from Isaiah here. The heart of the people have grown dull. Now, this was said many, many, many years ago. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed. Lest they should see and hear. They don't want to hear it. Because if you hear it, then you've got to change. If you hear it and you see it, you've got to be a different kind of person. That's what God wants you to be. And that's what He desires you to be. And He said, these people are trying to keep from hearing it. Brethren, I hope we're not that way. I hope we want to hear the Word of God, what it has to say, and we want to live by it. Because that's what we've got to do. Now, listen to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved. You do things so that God will look down and say, you're okay. Now, it's great to be right with man, but let me tell you something. You're not going to be right with everybody. That's just life. But you be right with God and right with man as much as you can. But we've got to be those people that we're approved to God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. A preacher can stand up and say, God sees everything you do. And some people go, scared. Why? Because we're afraid it's true. And he sees everything we do. Well, one, he does. And two, we don't need to be scared. If we're those people that are trying to live according to his will, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be ashamed. We are those people who are handling the word of the truth. We're handling it in such a way as we can change ourselves and change our lives and live a different way. Now, maybe what we've got to do is realize and understand how this word of God is going to help us. We've got to study the Bible, and we need to know what it says. We need to understand what it has to say. One of the first things we need to do if we're going to understand the Bible is we need to learn to pray. And I mean, go to God and ask God for His help in helping you to understand the Word of God. Now, somebody says, oh, I don't know if I need to do that. I don't, you know, am I asking the Holy Spirit to do something? No, what you're doing is asking God to help you, just like you pray for the sick. You pray for the needy. You pray for the missionaries. You pray for the soldiers. You're asking God to help you to know the Word of God. And let me tell you something. If that's a prayer you pray every day, your conscience is going to bother you so much that you've got to study the Bible. You've got to study what God's Word has to say, and you've got to find out. Listen to Psalms 119. And Psalms 119, if we just studied that for a year, I think we'd have enough to study there in that one passage. But in verse 18, it says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Now, that should be our prayer. I'm not telling you got to pray it exactly like that. But I'm saying what we need to do, that needs to be the prayer that we're trying to utter there. God, help me to see your law and follow that law. Do what that law has to say. I need to learn to study it. I need to learn to find out what it has to say. And let me tell you something. If you're going to study the Bible, get you a pencil. Get you a pen. One fellow said a short pencil is a lot longer than your memory. Woo, isn't that true? Linda told me something yesterday. I said, you need to do this. I said, did you write it down? She said, no. I said, if you want me to do it, you better write it down. Because I won't remember it. Maybe I'm the only one that's like that. Maybe the rest of you got great memories and you don't have to do it. But we need to write it down. Maybe write it down when we study it, where we're at. When my daddy died, I got his Bible. And my daddy was not really a religious fellow to a great extent. But in his Bible, and I've got it on I've got it in a picture frame in there, and it's just a bunch of writing. I've had some people go over and look at that and say, what is that? I said, that's where my daddy was reading the Bible. I had told him to read it, to just read it, just read it. And he'd write down the page number, and he'd write down what he read, and then he'd come back again, and he had about two or three of those things filled out. You don't know how wonderful that is for me to look at it and see it. For him to do that. He was like most men. He only read when he had to. But to see he was reading the Bible is worth a great deal. And that's what we got to do. We're not going to ever know all the Bible. We're not going to ever be able to answer every question without going and looking and finding out what it has to say. We can't do that. But we can know enough to know where it's at. To know which law it applies to. We live in a religious world where sometimes people will look at the book of Isaiah for teaching. They'll look at the book of Genesis for teaching. And there is teaching there in those things. But those are not the commandments that we're under. We're under the law of Christ. We're under the New Testament law. That doesn't mean we dump the Old Testament. It means we study out of it and see the principles that are there and how that God carries His principles over. God has said over and over again, if you follow my will, I will save you. Sometimes it was different under the patriarchal, Mosaical age. We don't have to offer sacrifices like they did, but we have to offer a heart like they had. We have to offer a spirit like they had. We have to offer hands like they had to do the will of God, to do what God wants done within His Word. We've got to be willing to do that. And if we don't do that, we're going to miss out a lot. All right. We need to see the power of God. And we need to meditate on that word. We need to think about what that word's trying to say. Listen at Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren. Now this is, when a preacher says finally, it really doesn't mean much. But think about this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's any praise, if there is any praise, worthy things, meditate, think about those things. How much do you think about the Word of God? I'm not talking about just, you know, I really like my Bible. I really like the church. But how much are you really thinking about it as you're studying it to try to find out what it has to say? We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to know the Word of God. Now let me ask you something. I want you to think about this. How many of you have ever sat in a class on really how to study the Bible? I found that most people have never ever sat in on a class like that. You become a Christian, you're immersed in water, and then automatically we kind of act like they're supposed to know the Word of God. There needs to be, I've got a study in my office that they did in a congregation, and I've used it several times, where these people went through a year study with people after they became a Christian or before they became a Christian to teach them what Christianity was all about and what the Bible was about. To be able to know the difference. Brethren, I don't know, you may have been in the church all your life. Some of us weren't. Some of us didn't go that much. And you come in, and everybody there knows the Bible, you think. They know more than you know, because you don't know much at all. And then they're in there, and they're going, well, this is in Samuel 6. And where is Samuel at? I don't even know where Samuel is. And we need to help people to know about the Bible. Those basic things of Old and New Testament, the Mosaic or the Patriarchal and the Christian age. Understanding those things. Understanding what the New Testament has to say so that they can follow that. And understanding about the church and those things. Sometimes we just assume people know all that. When they're sitting there saying, I don't think I know anything about that. You don't ever assume an audience knows what you're talking about. So you need to make it plain enough where people can understand it. You need to help them to be able to find out where it's at. You say, that's something that's kind of childish. No, it's not. It's knowing the basics of what the Bible is all about. And teaching people to have a love for the Bible. Helping them to understand what it has to say. Now, it's been a few months ago, I think, we studied about studying the Bible. And I mentioned to you one way that John MacArthur, a Christian teacher, that he said. And he said, read 5 or 6 chapters in a book, the same book, every day. And then read that book. And when you get through, go back and read it again. If I had some of the young people to come, and some of you, to come up here today and say, sing a song. Now, most of us wouldn't sing it, but we know all the words to it. Did you sit down one day and say, I'm going to memorize that? And you sit down and go, okay, this is, I got that part. No, we heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it. And because we've heard it, we know it. Some of you sing songs. And if we didn't have this up here, or we didn't have a book, we could still sing them. Because we know them. Did you memorize those things one day? Did you say one day, I'm going to memorize all those songs? No. How did you get those things in? I've heard them sung for 45 years, for 50 years, for 60 years, and I know the words to them. What if we read the Bible like that? Do you think we would know the Bible more and more and more? Oh, listen, we're going to have a good Bible school. going to be a great thing. Hopefully, we're going to help children understand more about the Bible. We're going to help adults understand more about the Bible. And let me tell you something, we're going to have fun while we do it. Come be a part of it. As an adult, come be a part of it. We got several people that are going to teach the adult class. We want you to be a part of that. And just look at all the kids that are roaming around here. And somebody says, oh, they're going to make a mess. Of course they are. They're kids. What do you expect? But we can clean it. If we can't clean it, we'll replace it. But we'll help people to know what the Word of God has to say. And this building is to be used for God's glory. And if it's not, what good is it? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to be a person that what the Bible talks about a person needs to do to become a Christian. Very simple, not complicated. You hear what is said, you believe what is said, and you're willing to place your soul on that account. You're willing to trust that, what you're doing for your soul's salvation. Now, that's what you got to do. And then you're immersed in water to show, this is what I'm going to do. But also in that it shows that we're contacting the blood of Jesus Christ. We're being cleansed. We're being made whole. We're being added to the kingdom, added to the church. We're becoming a part of the body of Christ and a whole bunch of other things we could mention. If you need to do that, then we want to encourage you to do it. If you're here as a Christian and maybe you haven't studied the Bible like you should, if you think you need to respond publicly for that, do it. If you don't, then just say in your heart, I'm going to change. God, forgive me. I'm going to study your word and I'm going to find out what it has to say. I'm going to find out what it has to say. Or maybe if there's a sin in your life that's keeping you from your service to God, if it's troubling you, if it's keeping you up at night, why don't you confess that thing and get it straightened out? Get it out of your way and go on and serve God with joy and with happiness. God doesn't want sour Christians. He wants Christians that are happy because they know who they trust in and they depend on Him. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.